whatsoever, you're sent them on hour. And you always had to be careful you didn't exceed that, because very often the crafty monkeys used to put out a speed recorder to make sure you didn't go over it. If you had a good driver and a good thing what did steam, you could get your fire right when you leave Bournemouth and you were away, no problem, you know. Yeah, but I loved it. I really did love it, yeah. You didn't know a lot of the porters and that by names, but you always put their hand up or come and have a word with you, like. Sure, just a happy atmosphere to go to work. And the scenery would change, you know, like you get this time of year where the combines is out and things like that. You see the deer running around and the rabbits going all ways, but it's a joy to go down through here, really.
He's obsessed with training, that's why we're here.
He should be. How old is he?
Four.
Well, when he's about 14 years, he can start working on that engine.
Yeah.
We're standing on the up platform, or the former up platform of Shillingston Station in the middle of North Dorset. Shillingston was a station on the Somerset and Dorset Joint Railway, which ran from Bournemouth to Bath and also carried traffic from the north as well down to the south coast. It was opened in 1863 and closed in 1966. Looking across from the platform, we could see across to the River Stour, and beyond that we've got the Saxon hilltop fort of the Hambledon Hill, and to the right is Hod Hill. Because the Somerset and Dorset had such an important part to play in the local community and still remains sort of very dear to many people, we want to create a museum that basically reflects the way of life of this part of Dorset, of the railways in general around here, and their impact on all the people around.
I'll just take the first ticket out for the North Dorset Railway Trust raffle. And the first ticket is for the train, and it's number 81.
It's that little boy that's on it.
Congratulations.
All right, give it to Daddy. Give it to Daddy.
A nice train set.
This is your second boy. Before you, you see the
Blackmore Vale. And as Hardy described it in one of his novels, the vale and the small farm. So you can see the farmhouses with the fields around them. That's how it used to be. You've got Bull Barrel behind us, the Blackdown Hills, the Quantocks, the Mendips and the Deverils, and that's Windgreen right on the top there. Both ways of life. Right, let's all sit down and off we go again.
Termworth in Spring, we call it. It started about 1986 when we moved up here, and there's a nice lot of bluebells about in the woods, and it always seems a nice time of the year, and we thought, for one thing, we wanted to raise money for the church, and also it seemed a nice opportunity to share what we've got with other people. The tractor and trailer rights are the chief thing, because although we live down here in this little valley and we haven't got very much view, but you only have to sort of go up through the woods, and then we arrive on the top on the ridgeway. We then cross over the ridgeway out onto the escarpment of the Bell Hill, as it's known, and of course there it's a magnificent view down over the vale, and particularly over Lowbrook Farm, where I was sort of brought up and farmed most of my years. But then, you know, we have Highland cattle here, which people sort of like to see, and we had various other people come in with the old machinery, and we get someone come in to do the sheep shearing, but it's always a great interest. And this year we've got some alpacas and a cheese stall, someone that make leather hats. And what we really look for is not something that you can sort of buy anywhere, but something that people make individually. You know, we have sort of quite a variety of attractions here.
You know, traditional country day.
Local people doing it as well, isn't it? Not miles away. Local people enjoying themselves.
Old fashioned.
It's not the 21st century. We've stepped back into probably about the 1960s, and it's lovely.
Ibberton Village Hall. It's a small hall, it's got a tin roof, wooden inside. It's big enough for village functions, fetes, fundraising activities. It's got a few spotlights, so you can have small dances, bands come in, that sort of thing. This evening, we have the Hillside Singers. Now, they are all ladies, and there's about a dozen. And we practice usually once a fortnight. Fairly light music. We're different to a church choir. We don't sing hymns and anthems and things for churches. So we sing lighter sort of music. It's a very light-hearted, laid-back group, just to enjoy some singing. And we don't have to go in for competitions or anything difficult and clever like that, but just to enjoy ourselves.
Through from the dining room into the kitchen, and from there into the chapel, we go through a small passageway and then into the main chapel itself. Quite a magnificent room, really. The original chapel was built on a site maybe 100-200 meters from the main house. And the settlement probably fell into disuse at the time of the Black Death. The chapel itself was rebuilt adjoining what was once a great house. The main house was built in 1570 by Sir John Horsey. The chapel was added in the early 1600s in around 1605. The house is called Higher Malcolm. I see myself as a custodian, third generation. I have a son and a daughter who I hope may take an interest and see this survive for yet another generation. Coming back here is such a wonderful contrast from what I often say to people is my day job. I find myself up at Gatwick Airport in the week, flying on European routes. And the wonderful contrast is arriving back at the farm here, arriving back at the house, sometimes at very odd hours, maybe 4 or 5 in the morning, just as dawn is breaking, with the mist rolling down through the valleys off the downland here. A very magical moment, one of quietness and solitude, also one of great happiness as well. We've now just closed the gate at the top of the Wessex Ridgeway, and we're approaching the finger post at the Dorset Gap itself. In essence, 5 tracks. I'm looking at a modest box on the ground. It is waterproof. And if I open that, we should be able to see a couple of books. The history behind this is that an original book was laid by some passerby, I think some 30 years ago. Just a notebook in a plastic cover and a plastic Tupperware box. And the trends caught on from that point. It seemed a rather good idea to continue with that theme. And so over that period of 30 years or so, there must have been 5 or 6 Dorset Gap boxes. They've all perished in time. Well, we got one new book, and turning the page, we can see that already there are several entries. Lovely walk, idyllic countryside, I think it says. Where's the sunshine, though?